is kosher ingredients that a goy would cook it for us.
God cooked food
is forbidden to eat it. Even if you know the ingredients is kosher, 100%, nothing wrong. You are giving him the ingredients. He takes, he cooks it. That's called bishule goyim.
And somebody's watching him.
Chadame.
Even watching him. Brother, I'll come to the chadame later. Even if we watch him. Even if we watch him, everything, a goy cooks it, he's not allowed to eat. That's called bishule goyim.
And this is all types of food, not only
we'll,
meat.
We'll come to eat. I'm saying principally.
In general.
Principally, what the law? Hachamim forbid to eat food that goy cooked it.
Why?
Mishum hatnut, not to be kirba. That he cooks for me, and then
they invite each other,
and then they will
attract him to his own.
The children will get friendly, and from the same thing that is, I said, shouldn't drink with him, shechar, and so on. The same thing with eating. Then, they can't be saying, when Chachamim made the Gezerah, what did they make it on exactly, more specific? Suppose he takes tomatoes and he cooked it. It's
no
also
problem.
Included?
It's okay.
Why?
It's edible.
The rule is, davar ne'echal kemot shehu hai, en bo din b'shule goyim. Things that you can eat it without being cooked. Therefore, even if he cooked it, it's not, the Gezerah is not on it. That's only something that you can't eat raw. That means he is helping you to have something that you wouldn't be able otherwise to eat. That is b'shule goyim. This is the first din. And also, what we say about that if he cooks it, only something that usually that important people would eat it. For example, meat,
chicken,
anything that you know, give it to respectable people, they eat food. But there is something that they don't eat it, which we'll come to later, to something what's called unimportant that would be permitted. Now here, if this is done where? In the house of the goy or in the house of the Jew?
House of the Jew.
Even in the house of the Jew, it's not that. Even in my own pot, he cooks in my pot, my things, my ingredients. I tell him, here is the item, cook it for me. It's not allowed. That's even Bevet Yisrael, because that's what your question. It was mixed together, something that edible raw with something is not, what would be permitted or not, should we follow? Of course, you look what is the main thing. If the main thing is something that you can eat it raw, even if you mixed a lot of that you can, it would be okay. But if the main thing is, of course, when you come, you cook meat, even though you put vegetables that they are, you can eat them raw, but what's the main thing?
It's the meat.
It's understood. That means a person has to use his judgment. What is the main thing, the main part of the food? Then, if that is raw, can be eaten or not, that's what you determine. If you can eat it or not.
Actually, it's what the person who's going to eat considers the main food. There are some may say, on the case of the meat, that they put the meat in to give taste to the vegetables and they really want the vegetables. There are some who says, no, I want to eat the meat.
No, but usually we say, normally all people, the meat is the most important.
Rabbi, there's a dish that they make the kibbeh with raw meat.
Kibbeniyah.
So
what?
Does that mean that you could have chopped meat?
It's not cooked.
No, I'm saying,
yes,
since we could eat it raw, does that mean that
we're talking only if it is cooked?
No, but I'm saying, since it could be eaten raw.
No, that's not the same thing. That's not the same thing. No, if he cooks it, usually, normally, they don't eat it raw.
Only
halab. Yeah.
Only halab.
Only halab.
I don't know any better.
في مصر ما بس ما بياكلون ما في كبنيه في مصر اكيد في
ما بي في الحلبيه في
كبنيه في بحطوا سبايسز بحطوا هذه
No taste to it.
How about sushi?
Just like
sushi
burger.
What?
The
kibbeh. No taste to it?
It tastes like...
go crazy over it. It's
like
burger.
That's what it is.
Whoever made it didn't make it right when he had it.
The two ones, they asked me, I tested it, I don't want to eat it.
Oh, you didn't like it either?
No, I was...
You didn't try it?
Feeling was for low thing to eat, low fat.
He says not good.
Huh?
It says not good.
Tastes no good?
I love it. Which I love it.
You love it?
Yeah, but she stopped making it. Now she makes it part. They make it part. They put all the stuff inside instead.
Yeah.
They make it.
Vegetables, yeah. They make it with vegetables.
They say raw meat is unhealthy. It's not cooked right now.
They give you kibbeh part.
With lentils. Yeah, they make it part. I don't know what they put, but they...
You can make it vegetables.
They didn't make it part.
Yeah, a lot of times.
They make it part.
Yeah. Vegetables.
Without the meat, you mean?
Well, no meat.
Yeah.
I haven't heard
that.
Get the
meat. Yeah. In Syrian cooking book, they give you a kibbeh.
It's delicious. It's very good.
I sell the ingredients, vegetables and spices and
lentils.
What?
Lentils.
Hadis. Oh, yeah?
I don't know what they use.
I mean, but they have the other ingredients also, but they have... Hadis
different. Never heard of that.
Yeah. I saw it in the book, I realized. Paula was surprised, yeah. Okay, that means they like it. They say it's exactly the same, and this would be more accepted, better than having low fat or low, because they put fat in it.
A little bit, not much.
They say what I did is not tasty.
It's not healthy.
Yeah. Shaham Nayi Shema Israel. Okay. The question came when they came Bishurei Goyim, if you roast something, not cooked.
Barbecue.
This is what you see, Adami, hummus. What do you do with the peas? It's roasted. Hummus, Bishavul Adami, was Ma'amul, what do we, Abel Ma'it Hanu? What's Ma'amul?
Hamsu,
Muhammas. Hala, yeah. Muhammas, come on, if you're Bishurei Goyim, la la.
You can eat it. You can eat it both ways.
Alakha, no, you can eat it. Really, they don't eat it raw, and it's fresh.
Yeah.
But dry, you don't eat it raw. But the alakha is mutar from the peshat.
You know, this is one of those you wouldn't serve to an important person?
Huh?
This is one of the foods you wouldn't serve to an important person?
No, because he weighs it.
Is that the reason? Or what?
No, because kiliyah is not bishul. That's called Qiliyah, roasted.
Of anything, Rabbi?
Even if something...
So in those, you put peanuts in, you salt them, and you cook them, it's the same thing then.
Oh, yeah, cook.
No, it's not...
Roasting, you roast the peanuts.
Roasted the peanuts.
You roast the peanuts?
Yeah. Roast the peanuts,
it would be the same thing?
Same thing.
Meat also, Rabbi?
Same thing.
Meat also?
No. Meat is... the roasting of meat is different thing. He was talking roasting of vegetables.
No, I can eat peanuts.
But can you eat it raw?
No.
That's not the reason why you can eat it, because of the way they cook it.
I don't know the almonds. No.
Peanuts you can't eat raw.
No, you can't eat raw.
So how come you can eat them if they're raw?
Because it's not bishul. It's not considered bishul. This wasn't in the Gezerah. But Mekubalim said, according to Kabbalah, Rav Ari said, not to. That's why Hasidim, they don't eat it. But the halacha always comes to hummus from Goyim. They buy it, hummus, roast it. What it comes from? Jews not sit down to roast it. It comes from Goyim. They're permitted. They all bring it. Rabtak lo to. Adam b'jibu Shabbat b'jibu dama fil knis.
So Rabbi, when you buy roasted peanuts, when it has OK on it or OU on it, does that take into account the Mekubalim or it's?
The Jews did it.
No, but...
I mean, is that Bishulei Goyim still, or they watch to make sure that's not
a they give you according to the Peshat.
To the Peshat.
They just pay attention for the ingredients. That because sometimes when they roast things today, they put shortening, they put oil. That's why the oil you come for the kashrut of that, not for the Bishulei Goyim. They go according to the Peshat. The oil, they are not giving you according to Kabbalah.
A lot of products they have,
Bishulei,
really?
Yeah. All of
them? Yeah, it's a different
thing.
If you look on the bottom, I
know
it says,
like,
is it any? Tunfish,
not cooked? Yes, it is. I didn't
hear. Many products.
Bishulei
Yisrael.
Bishul
Yisrael.
I never saw that.
Maybe there is some company of Hasidim that they do it.
Maybe season.
Some of these companies that have
season.
Maybe, as you said, because as I said, Hasidim, they don't eat only Bishulei Yisrael. But anyhow, on vegetables and that, all these that they make in steaming, vacuum packs, there is nothing to worry about Bishulei Goyim. There is a difference between Bishulei Goyim or Afiyat Goyim, baking. Well, from this came the idea of bread, baked by a goy. There is a machloket of this including the gezerah of Bishulei Goyim or not. Some they say baked by a goy is not included in the gezerah. Therefore, you can buy bread that a goy bakes it, as long as the ingredients is kosher, will be mutar. Don't they do that? Today here, the stick bread, which is Italian bread, they buy Italian bread. We don't tell them anything. But all the Syrian bread they used to be baked by goyim. As long as there is only the ingredients kosher, the oil they give you, aladin, batikh, all these, they are goyim. And you eat it. That's called pat of goyim. Afui is baked, but this is not bishul. Wasn't included. But there is a machloket. Some they say, even baked of a goy, also asur. La halakha mutar. But there is many nizharim. And Maran said in Shulchan Aruch HaRahayim, that at least in Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, even those that they eat pat paltar, pat of paltar means, well, I didn't say that. I should go to this also. When I say baked by a goy mutar, they talk only baked by a goy that is selling in the market. That means a bakery. But if he makes it home, even if you make it in kosher oven and everything, it's not allowed. Because again, the home is different. But ba'al ha-bayit asur. What we're talking, but paltar, which means a baker.
He's not making it actually for you. He's making it for
general mutar. But Maran said, Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, since there is mahlok, there is some rabbis forbid it, the person become more hasid in Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. This is why. Because if a person in Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, he becomes more hasid, Kadosh Baruch Hu will be also make chesed with him. That will be favoring him, to be kind to him, on Kippur, at the time of Yamim Nuraim. But when, in general, halakha is mutar. That's why we don't tell people never not to take pat paltar. They buy the Syrian bread, or they buy the other bread, the Italian bread. However, they come to say Friday night, you want to make the Mahamotzi of Lel Shabbat, it's better to take Pat Israel. From this day, some that they love, I like Syrian bread. Today there is Syrian bread. Shemesh Pat Israel. And it's better to take the Syrian bread.
There's a few places.
Cool. It's better to take the Syrian bread of Shomer Shabbat.
Which one? There's one on Avenue U.
Because most of the things, before they opened up the bakery, there's no one. Everybody was taking the challahs from
Chukatis.
Goyim, no?
What is that?
The one in Park Avenue, West Park, the bakery.
I don't know. Is it goyim?
Goyim with the kashrut.
I have no idea. Yeah.
Chukaris is what it called. It's goyim. Italian.
Yeah.
But now they open La Brioche. La Brioche is Kaski.
Kaski, yeah.
The
whole idea, I understand that. Pat Nochri came, the difference why Pat Nochri is machlok is because of Bishulei Goyim. I thought it was just because that there wasn't bakers, and since bread is the staple of people, they didn't want to make it so strict on that particular item.
No,
bread.
The question is this included or not.
So what about Sambusak then, or anything else?
Wait a minute, I'll come to it. I said
we're just taking bread. That Pat Nochri is the same.
Well,
the
we'll
idea.
Come to it soon.
So, Rabbi,
something I call
that. That's fake.
Damascus Bakery.
Yeah.
It has all you.
Yeah.
You go to Atlantic Avenue. On one shelf, he has the bread. On one shelf, has lahm ajin, not kosher. Where is the mashgi kosher? If he doesn't bake in the same place and then uses.
If they give you OU, must be that there is, they know.
It's not there, supervision. Not supervision.
You're going to give them the bread.
But they know,
the
must be, they know
before
that.
Before they package it,
he's there.
His hands are with the meat, he touches
it's different
something.
How do you know it's baked there? It's baked there.
Must be that there's a separate oven. They know.
I asked him one time. He said, no, I have one over here, one upstairs. How can I trust him? I mean, we'll eat it because.
I want to trust who, the guy? The guy?
No, not the guy, the guy. The Arab guy, he said,
we
have
a shia,
over here,
the Arab
upstairs.
No, must be,
if
they put OU there.
So I asked him, how do you have OU on this one and have meat? He said, we have two ovens. But who is it, maybe you have to check.
If maybe there is.
Must be there with the other
not
oven.
Permanent mashgiah.
Yeah, but if they have OU,
what
do you know? Be given to them.
All of them. Do they check everything, the OU? And everything they have permanent
there, mashgiah? Whenever they bake bread, they may be there.
Not
yeah.
only this, but no, spot check, you can have it.
All the stores like that, they will have to be there.
For everybody who did not see it, it's permitted. For you that you saw it, it's permitted.
Permitted the hamajin or the bread?
The hamajin is okay.
On King's Highway, they all have mezugaham.
Who's outside?
Who's checking on everything? I'm not saying about this.
Where?
The Phantom.
No, once in a while they pass by, they check on
that. No, some of them, no, you're right. Some of them, they have mezugaham to meet it. Some of them, they don't have mezugaham to meet it. Yes, only that comes sometimes to see. But again, if there's a Jew and he does, at the beginning, some of them that they have mezugaham to meet it like a restaurant. And they're not
only one has permanent, and the restaurant.
Oh.
Nivela. Only that one has.
Yeah, because before it wasn't.
All the time is there.
Before it wasn't. Now.
What about the one on East Wood?
David?
Nivelach is the one that has the most problems. On
the one on East Wood.
I went to him one time and he wasn't there and I killed him. He called me to the house.
What does the one on East Wood has?
Carmel is third.
Third, yeah.
No,
right,
not Carmel.
Right,
it's not Carmel. The one
David,
on East Fourth.
David.
And that one, I think, is under the Vard the Flatbush, if I'm not mistaken. The one on East Fourth.
No.
Flatbush.
Who's the Flatbush?
Bamza and all those.
I think the one on East Fourth is under the Vard the Flatbush.
Okay. But do you ever see Mashgiach
there?
No, I did. That's what I'm saying. I saw. We ate there a couple, about a month and a half ago.
I never saw one.
Because you ate there, that's why there's a mashgiach.
They brought him special that
came,
night.
He came special for me.
Yeah, he knew he made a reservation.
Really, I never saw that.
Right, good.
Now, he asked a question. Rabbi, how about if they make some busa, other things? You said about bread. Bread's different, some busa's different. Some busa is sometimes
cheese.
Certain things of oil. The oil is considered bishul.
Cheese.
To understand, oil or whatever it is, margarine.
So even though you're baking, you're not baking. Because there's oil, you're not really baking.
So in other words,
it's different than baking.
If you put oil or butter or margarine, anything like that, it's no longer baking.
That's right, it's a part of a shul.
So what about cakes?
That's a Shahan Aruch Mefarash. They used to make like pasteda. Pasteda, you know what pasteda is? Also something like what they say, kibbutzaniya. They make the top, the bottom, a dough. And filled with certain things
meat
inside,
pie.
Stuffing
like meat
it.
Pie,
meat, could be cheese, something.
Kibbutzaniya?
This, even though it's baked, is not allowed. This is Shahan Allah said before, because yeast they put some oil and everything that's considered bishul.
So even if the wife took bas at home, made the lech, the sambusak, finished, twirled them, put on the best of sesame, didn't cook it, put it on a tray, put it in the freezer, the chadamer comes, takes it, put it in the freezer, put it in the oven, she cooked it.
Now you come to question the
chadamer. I know what you're saying. Okay, no chadamer. A goy comes and takes it and cooks it.
It's
cooked. No matter what they did before, and it doesn't go under like bread.
Can't do it. How about vice versa?
What?
How about the other way around?
The other way around wouldn't be.
What?
The goy prepares it.
Goy can prepare everything as long as the Jews are baking, it's okay. Even the food that you cook, if he prepares all the food for you, the meat and everything, and he puts in the pot. You come, you put the pot on the fire, good luck to you. You can eat it. The main thing that the cooking will be done by a Jew. Not only that, sometimes even the cooking will be done by a goy, as long as the Jew will put the fire and stir it. That is, stirring is very good, very important to us, the Faradim. Shkenazim, if you put the fire only, it's good enough. But we say it's not enough. Maran said, you have. The Jew has also to stir the food. If you put the fire, he puts the pot, the cooking is still being done by him. When you come to stir the food, it's okay.
How come we have a difference in the Ashkenaz on this?
Because Maran and Muram, there's two opinions about it. Muram said it's enough only by putting the fire on. Maran said no, it has to be also stirring it. And we have to do it according to Maran.
But what is his basis for differing with Maran?
Because Maran said it's not enough, the cooking has to be an act by that he's doing with the food. In order that to show the difference that you know, well, I'm not allowed to eat something cooked by a goy.
So, even, it's not here, it's a different thing, Shabbat, but if a guy turns on the fire and then another one comes and puts on the food, he's the one who turns on the
That's
fire.
A different thing. Shabbat is a different thing. Shabbat is a different thing. Yeah, the Rambam is counting sometimes all the ten Chagei Shabbat. That's a different thing altogether. Then comes the question, our maids in the house, if they cook for us, would be, not for me, I don't have a maid. I never had the pleasure of having a maid in my house. Baruch Hashem. This is one thing that when before we got married, I told my wife, I don't want children to be raised by a maid. She said, don't worry, I don't like them. I don't want a maid also. It's up to them. She hates a maid. Now when she gets a helper for day cleaning, she waits when she will leave already. She can't she can't take it. Hashem, the children were raised and brought up by a home, a mother and father.
That's before.
Wait a minute.
Our children without maid. Now they can't move without a maid.
What can we do with this?
This is America.
And us, what is our maids, there is also to worry or not. There's a mahloket to it. Maran brings Yesh Omrim, Yesh Omrim. At the beginning he said Yesh Omrim Shemutar, Yesh Omrim Shasur, Afilu B'di'avad. Even if she did already, and the food will be forbidden to eat. This is the halakha according to Maran. But Ashkenazim said, Rama said, that their minhag lehakel bazevet shelanu. The Ashkenazim mekelim b'shfachot. The maid sat in the house.
They're not really. I don't see where they get that. The maid is paid. It's not a real. Not a slave.
Not a slave.
So how do the Ashkenazim say that?
That's
it's okay?
Why. That's why there is a look at when those that they say shfachot, they sell the shfachah, is not the same thing that you worry about. Kerbah, Hatnun, this is not Bechlala Gezerah. The whole idea why Gazerah, I mean, even if it's Kasher and everything, that shouldn't be a Kerbah to go, it's a Shifha, there is no Hashash of Kerbah. Some they say, when they say Shifhanu Hashan Kibah, when there was a time of slavery, only if she was like Avid. Avid, Shifhada de Tog, that's Mutah, that's like Avid. But Shifha Shilanu, that Muskarim, is not. It's Mahloket and different approaches. There is
okay, so Maran holds and we hold that.
Asur. And the Rama said that they are Mekilim. There are some other time of our people that they, you know, will rely on Ashkenazim with this, as they do in a number of things. Now, sometimes a goy would cook something without intention of cooking at all. He was putting a fire. He was a put something. He put the fire not because he wanted really to cook the food. He put the fire in order to burn certain grass or something. And it happened to be that the food was there. This definitely is mutar. Because his intention wasn't for cooking. His intention was something else. He put the fire for something else, and the fire cooked the food that was there. His intention wasn't for cooking the food. This is a different loophole that sometimes will be mutar. But it's a
loophole.
It's not. However, any bishulei goyim that we said asur, if the Jew would help in the cooking, no matter what, the beginning, the end, as long as he helps in the cooking, would be mutar.
What do you mean by helps?
For example, he does part of the cooking.
While it's on the fire.
Sometimes at the beginning, putting on the fire, it's not enough. Putting the fire on.
No, I said while it's on the fire.
Yeah. That he does something, stirring it as
while
we said.
It's on the fire.
That's right.
But if he does something before it's on the fire, and then it goes
nothing,
on the fire, it's got to be while it's on the fire.
No.
But adding
that's
ingredients.
Right.
Adding stuff, same thing.
Instant hot.
What about baked goods, like you said, bread? Is it
the what?
Cookies and cakes. Cookies and cakes.
I just said before, cookies and cakes, there is some kind of ingredients that become like oil, margarine, things like this. This is not included.
So it's no good?
No good.
So what you bought, they have all over the counter, like Entenmann's, Nabisco, is that stuff, you know?
I don't know, again, there we said.
Well, you would say
that. It wasn't.
We're not talking about Bishulei Goyim there. I don't know. First of all, Entenmann is Jews or Goyim?
Entenmann now is
Goyim.
Goyim, it's owned by General Mills.
Doesn't matter who the owner is anyway. What's the difference, family? What's the difference?
But no, as long as the Mashkiah turns up, but if the Mashkiah turns on the oven,
yeah,
that takes care of it.
But we don't know.
He's not turning on the oven.
We don't know.
The guy has the oven on 20
I don't know. But there must be that there is a Mashkiah.
They're under the OU, right? They're under the OU. Or is it Kafka? Which is the Kafka? It's under the Kafka, the entrance.
Is it, what is it, Kafka? Or
it's all machine anyway.
Kafka now.
Maybe
it's machine.
Oh, yeah.
See,
OUD.
Unfortunately, sometimes, today, when they give the OU, they give only for the kashrut of the food.
Ingredients, right.
They don't give about the Bishulei Goyim, not the Bishulei Goyim. But as you said, there are some packages we should say.
Yeah,
not Entenmann's.
Not this.
I said, why they do that?
Right.
Because they know that when they give the kashrut, they don't give it on Bishul.
Right.
They give it on an ingredients that they are good ingredients.
So these cookies and cakes, you can't
use some Entenmann?
According to, well, and if there is something, as I said before, oily, or that would be not allowed.
There's definitely oil and eggs and.
Thursday, Friday, Sunday, something
they must have a Mashiach.
No, there's the oil is very important. There is oil.
Rabbi, according to Ashkenazim, they would need, it would be okay, or they would...
What?
Cakes and cookies.
There's
no difference between Ashkenazim and Sephardim.
No.
They're just making sure the ingredients are kosher. There's no way.
Yeah, but then they're giving the okay to eat the product. So halachically, it's not okay to eat it.
But how much are they making these companies? They think there's going to be a Mashiach worried about the oven. They're going to go to Mashiach worried.
I said, who's your Mashiach?
It's impossible.
I'm going to talk to the Mashiach.
It's impossible. They're selling hundreds of thousands
of dollars.
What happens if it's automated, Rabbi?
Yeah, Rabbi, what if the oven goes on by itself?
If it's automated and the workers are not doing the cooking, if it's machine, the whole thing.
Yeah, but who is doing that?
Someone's got to watch it.
The oven goes on by itself.
From the air?
No.
The oven goes on every morning.
There's only one guy, the guy who turns on the switch in the morning.
The guy who pushes the button.
Okay, who's putting the
button? The guy who pushes the button, he's the guy.
Everybody else, they maintain the machines, they serve it.
Who is doing the thing of the cooking?
The koi.
The guy who pushes the button.
It's obviously a
maybe just a
Mr. Enterman.
Maybe happens to be, but it's not a machine.
But the whole thing is not the mixing and stuff. The whole thing is at the oven.
But turning on the gas is not going to help us.
The preparation is okay.
Anybody can do it in the baking. What are they doing
in the factory? They're fixing the machines, they're pouring in the bag, whatever. They're not doing any cooking. Cooking is all automated, I would say. So what good is it? Even if a Jew turns on the gas, it's according to us, it doesn't make a difference anyway.
No, I'm baking, it does.
No, who's baking here? They have eggs, they have oil. We're not talking baking.
Wait, not eggs. Eggs is not the...
Okay, they have oil.
The oil.
There's no baking here. We're not talking baking.
The cookies are baked. There's no stirring.
But there's Bishul going on here.
But according to Sefarad, on baking, you can't stir. If you turn the oven on, it covers. Isn't that correct?
It's not baking. We're not baking here, Rabbi said.
What are you talking about?
Cookies? It has butter and it has oil.
Let me clarify one thing also. When I say that there is oil in it, there's two different things. When I say oil, not oil that they mix in the dough. If you mix oil in the dough and you bake it, still it's baking. It's not cooking.
Sometimes
you put the oil in the
pan.
Sure,
don't stick.
Then that's already been cooked. And then you put the thing on it, like they do with bread.
Well, then you're frying it. That's like frying.
No.
Yes, you have the oil in the pan.
They do sometimes in baking. They put grease first on the third tray.
Oil in the pan.
Yeah.
That oil sizzles.
They do that even
with bread, don't they? Sometimes they do that, but mostly they don't. Today in Goyim, they make bread with shortening on the bread. That's why when you go to Far East, you go other places, you can't eat their bread. Because they put the shortening first, and that. But bread that we talk, they don't put no shortening. Baking on the floor of the oven. Even if you put in the tray, as long as you don't put anything in the tray, those trays are not used only for bread. Okay. But if they use for something else, again, to cook, to meat, you can't. That's because of the anyhow absorbs and puts again in the bread. That's why they don't eat the bread from outside when you don't know. You go to Far East. Why? They use the lager, as they say.
So today, with any cakes or any cookies or anything, they always put the same as they would. They would put something. I don't know what they would put.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Cookies today, there is the molders. They put it in the bake.
Cookies? Oh, because of the Teflon?
Does your wife make cookies?
Yeah.
What's going to make it not stick?
Does your wife make cookies?
By sentiments, no.
I think most of the Antonman, if there is something odd, it's mixed in the dough. But
in the
dough.
So we can consider baking.
That's what there is. Oh, you talk only bake.
Okay.
We've got, let's say, raw bounce cookies or something like that, or Nabisco. I mean,
cookies aren't put in oil.
There's
cookies,
special shortening on it.
Baked on an
oven.
Are
you talking about on the tray?
What's with the molders? There is molders that they put
them in the mold.
It's probably cheaper. If it's Teflon, they don't have to put anything.
Like a muffin, they put in the mold.
They have a muffin mold.
Rabbi, technically, could OU or OK, anybody get hashgacha on ingredients if it's halachically not allowed to eat?
Sometimes, yes.
What was that question?
Because they tell you, many people, b'shulakum d'rabbanan, they don't want them to have a seret Torah. They give them, they tell them what the ingredients. They said, would sometimes the organizations that they give kashrut, would give sometimes kashrut for something even though it is b'shulagoyim? Sometimes they do. Because they are not looking after the, there is some direct
Islam.
restaurant there is, they give you the kashrut on the ingredients, but they don't give you the kashrut on the meat is kosher, comes blood kosher, but they don't give you the kashrut on who is cooking.
Who's cooking?
In the restaurants?
Yeah.
Sure.
Sometimes they don't.
What do you mean? Have an eye to cooking the pizza?
When I came here in you, I came here in you to the States. I was supposed to go to meet Mr. Moshe Shalom, the brother of Isaac Shalom, in the city. The Hakam, I want to see you. We'll go to the office of someone to talk to him about religion, something. I said, okay, what is your office? He told me. I went to him. I went to him and said, now your first time you came to my office, you sit down here. Now we'll sit at least for half an hour. He wanted me to read Chok Yisrael with him. He has always on his desk. He has Chok Yisrael, Zohar, Tehillim. He used to read a lot. And he said, read Chok Yisrael with me. Then let's read a lot of Tehillim. I want the place to be blessed. But you, and then we'll go. Okay, we finished, we read. We went down. He said, oh, before we go to the office, let's go and eat lunch. I said, where are we going to eat lunch? I said, here there is a place, they call it vegetarian.
There, yeah,
3029
Street?
Yeah, Pine Tree. No, vegetarian.
Oh, Pine Tree.
Pine Tree, yeah.
They call it Pine Tree. He said, all the Syrians used to go there. I never knew what it is, vegetarian, what's Pine Tree. I'm a newcomer. What is vegetarian, what's Pine Tree? I said, what is it? Jewish restaurant or Goyim? He said, no, Goyim. I said, maybe the only one Jew, but all they're Goyim. I said, how is that that this is okay? He said, because they are not allowed from the government. They don't have any meat in the place. All it's only vegetables, vegetarian, they call it, they do.
Very.
I said, listen, I will sit with you. I won't eat. I'll have a cold drink. You eat. He ordered Spanish omelet. He was sitting there. He's eating. I said, who made this? He said, yeah. I said, can I see him? Do you know the owner? He said, yes. So I called the owner, he called me and said, I said, who made this? He said, my cook. So who is your cook? May I see the kitchen? He said, yes. He told him, this my rabbi. We went there. He brought the chef over there. The chef was the Chinese. And I said, who made this? I told him, who made this? I did it. How, what is the mixture? I made myself. He said, there is the eggs, the pepper. And, okay, I did this. Okay, then. I came back, I said, together with Moshe Shalom, I said, you know, I wouldn't eat. I don't know, how do you people eat here? But then, cook this man who is not a Jew, that's Bishulei Goyim. You have absolutely Bishulei Goyim here. He looked at me, I'm not allowed to eat this. I said, of course not. He said, Shema, I said, Achilat Chacham, don't say it to the people. Please, don't open the subject. He said, oh, if you told them not, they don't have any place where to go to eat, they'll go to eat in the place taref. Leave them. Do you understand? Came the question, shall we keep quiet because we should go in and order not to eat taref? Or not? But any person that I saw that, I started talking about we should go in, to be careful not to eat. It wasn't in there. In the mind of the people, that anything wrong with the Rishu Goyim.
You probably didn't know that book.
Yeah. Then I asked, I went back to the Kohen. I said, don't you get tired from eating all the time this food? Don't you ever have a desire for meat? Oh, sometimes when I need the meat, I go next door, there is a deli, I buy from him the meat, I come, you eat it cold? I said, no, why? I warm it. For himself, he would want me to eat there inside. Nobody would tell him no. Now, they do for themselves. Okay, say, Azenam Batoruban, Batoruban, don't worry about it, Kelim and Abni Uman. In the meantime, there is something to worry. And we think we go to a vegetarian, finish it, everything is okay. 100%, and not 100%. This is what they have to be careful with. As we said, there is a difference between Maran and Moram. If they're putting the fire on enough or not. According to Maran, he must, the Jew, put the pot on the fire or this part of it, stirring it or something. Putting the fire on is not enough. This is the opinion of Moran, but Raman said, yes, they are relying on this, that this is permitted. There are two differences of opinion. That's why in Sha'arei Tzion, we insisted always the Kedro, the Mashkiach, is doing something there. So, and they did. Rabbi Machnis did all the
Rabbi Machnis made. Today they don't.
Rabbi Machnis.
Today they make eggs at the table in the breakfast. And they go eat.
No, he's a Jew, that one.
He's not. There are four of them, one is a Jew, three are not. And I checked it myself.
Rabbi, they don't make a distinction between a restaurant and you go there. It's a business. You know, there's no chance that you're going to get friendly. It's not like going to a friend's house, somebody's house and eating his food. It's a place where they do business. So there's no distinction in that.
What, goyim?
Yeah.
You go to a goyim?
Restaurant that has bishulei goyim. So you're not going there to socialize, you're going there to eat. So there's no distinction to
when Achamim made the Gedera, not the food.
They opened the gas.
Oh, short guy, thin guy, are you kidding?
It's,
but the guy was like Hadid, the guy.
No, Machlis?
Machlis.
Not at the end of his days, he wasn't.
Here, there is another thing. A goy will come, will cook. But the cooking is not finished. Come, the Jew is finishing it. As long as he cooked it, as good enough to be eaten already.
It doesn't matter what he does.
Doesn't finish. What's the use what Israel is doing? It's already done. This is what
the Maran salt on it or something.
Usually they call it shalish bishul. One third of cooking, that regular cooking, is considered edible.
Really?
Yeah. This is mahlok in the Rishonim. One third or one half.
So if that's the case, after a third is finished cooking, you come and mix it after the third, what do you do?
No, as I said, it has to be in the beginning. Before it's becoming cooking.
I thought you said somebody took it to eat it right then.
To be called
do it at the beginning.
For the beginning or the pot, maybe after the beginning. But as long as it wasn't cooked enough to be edible.
He wants to know how could butter be not kosher? Is there such a thing as butter?
What?
Butter. Is it all butter kosher or
here? It be not kosher.
Depends. What the butter made for?
No, it's all kosher. Made from cow. No.
Butter from milk. There's milk from camel. There's milk from pig.
No, here, United States. He means here.
Butter usually is kosher.
Any kind of butter? Does it have to say on it?
Because in butter country, here all made from cow milk.
Cow milk. So it's usually all kosher.
Yeah, and in butter there's nothing to worry about. Even the cheese is not a lot, but butter is a lot of goyim. Butter of goyim is mutar. Do you understand what I'm saying? Butter is made from milk.
Yes.
Definitely it's mutar. Even if halabo goy, and say, linen seed that many forbid it, that means even those that eat halab Israel only, they drink halav Israel only, they can have butter of the goyim.
Really? Yeah. Only that item?
Let me explain to you why, the difference. The cheese will be not alive.
Well, the cheese, they have something to it.
Wait a minute. We'll come to this. No, wait a minute. I didn't say that. Originally, we have a rule. Halav tameh eno nikpa. Halav of something tameh. If you take a pig milk, or you take camel milk, will not come solid. Will not come solid. Halav tameh eno nikpa. Therefore, the butter that you take from a goy is surely not from halav tameh. Must be from halav tahor. Therefore, it's okay. Why halav, the milk that you buy from a goy, you didn't see it is not allowed? Because maybe he gave you a milk which is tameh, milk of pig, milk of camel, that used to be found plenty. That's halav of other things. So, Paul, they forbid it. Halav, it's okay. But as long as you see butter cannot come from halav tameh. This is the rule. Maybe today, with the chemical things that they do, they would be able. But originally, in the halakha, this wasn't in the gezerah. Because was halav tameh did not become butter from it. But cheese, a different thing. Why, how they make cheese?
They put ingredients.
They put the cheese, the milk, the milk and all the cheese in the stomach of
the animal.
Of the animals. That cheese takes a taste of.
They put the milk in the stomach of the animal?
Sure.
From the stomach of the animal, they put it in the milk and it curdles and causes it
not
to fall.
Not only that, sometimes they take even the ladder of the stomach and they put in it because of that taste.
It makes
it cheese.
Why isn't it called taste
it's
of
known
meat?
That this was known originally. That's what they used. Today they bought different things. But originally it used to be that. When they made cheese, it was made by... They take an animal that's killed by the goyim, which is nevela. The goy makes it. All, even Jews made it with the different keva of keshera. But the goyim made it from animals, which is nevela. The taste of nevela goes into the cheese. That's the vara ma'amid called. What the vara ma'amid means? Something that will solidify it. Even though it would be, you put 100 gallons of milk. You put very little of that, it's all forbidden, because you can see effective. Since effective, it's called already important, doing something. That's why it's forbidden. Now, in Bada, they don't do that. It has nothing to do with Kibbutz Milan. But came our rabbi and said, how about if you will make the cheese with something else, with vegetables, kosher thing? He said, even if we'll make it with any kosher, they already made gezerah that their cheese would be asur, because usually they used to do it with that. Nothing, even if it will change, generations will come, will change, will do different things, the gezerah is there. Finish, you can't eat the cheese of goyim. This is what they do. They came many times, they came to say, look, cheese today, it's not the same thing, they put with chemical things, and that. Rambam said, it's not a lot. But I tell you, listen, sometimes during the war time, there was shortage of food, they didn't have. Even in Israel came Australian cheese. There came cheese from Australia, and they wanted the people to eat Hazada. They didn't have. They sent them these packages, and they didn't have food shortage during the war time. It was a terrible time. You people, may God won't let you see those days that we...